sometimes they never destroy. If you're wondering what I'm asking in return, dear, you'll be glad to know that my demands are small. Say it's me that you adore.
Jerry Gorenson with us. He is the author of Relational Triumph, Solving Relational Stress and Building Relational Success. He's been a therapist now in private practice for over 20 years. He's the director, owner of Riverbend Counseling Group, founder of the Harbor Fellowship, Inc., columnist for Christian Week, and author of Triumph, Solving Relational Stress and Building Relational Success. Jerry, hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Did I pronounce your last name right?
Yes, Jerry Gertzen.
Gertzen, okay, good. I wanted to make sure I had that right. Jerry, thank you so much. Yeah, in putting the book together, relational, and relational is a very interesting word. What does that mean as regards to building, moving through stress, moving through success? Relational is what?
It's the connection. It's the interaction between two or more people. And I think we're all built for that. We've all got it in us to want to have a relationship, and stress is inevitable. So I figured the two of those is a good combination to write about.
Well, by the way, I think it's a great name, and I think it's to lay a base of definition so we get on the same page right from the beginning. Because I really believe in this world today where it's so confusing, and I'm going to take you back to 50, 60 years ago when I was a little kid, and maybe longer than that, 50, 60 years ago when I was a little kid, I think of walking into the house then, and using a four-letter expletive in front of my mother would have been disaster. And she was a little thing, and I was a, you know, scrappy kid. The world is different today. The culture is different today. And because of that culture, I think there's a lot of confused people out there that don't have focus. They don't have parameters to live within. And because of that, you've got to be very busy.
That's true. There's no shortage of work on my side of the fence, for sure. But, you know, the joy of it, I love being able to see relationships come together. And sometimes it's a simple matter of not having the right tools or not having awareness of the tools that a person has in their tool belt. And so therapy is actually an incredible privilege. It's a sacred journey
sure.
to take with people. And if somebody can pick up a few tools and it transforms their relationship, I'm all for it. You know, and I think you're right. I think the culture is so different these days. People are looking for quick gratification. They want results fast, and we're kind of primed for that. And so I think that increases the stress, and I think that increases people's stress reaction. And that's what I talk about in my book is learning to become aware of how it is we respond to one another, and what is my part in that reaction, and is my part helpful or is it more harmful?
Jerry, we live in a rewards-based culture. You know, you go all the way back, and your mom or dad would say, clean up your room, and we'll take you to the show tonight. If you want this, we'll give you some. If you do this, we'll give you some candy. And if you want somebody to do something for you, you give them something. And we have gotten to a point that is so overblown, and we're stressed because we don't feel like we're rewarded for who we are. And I think one of the most important things is somebody like yourself who deals with this, deals with it on a daily basis. I wonder how many divorces would not happen if people were trained how to be married.
Well, I have a bit of a theory on that. I think 80% of the divorces that do happen aren't necessary. I mean, short of some smoking gun issues, you know, when it comes to infidelity or significant abuse, I mean, I get that. But a lot of people disband their marriage and their family for that very reason. And I love being able to help provide them with some mechanisms that they can use to try on and see if it doesn't smooth out the waters and see if it doesn't help them resolve the problems that go unresolved.
See, we're taught so many things in life, but just because, you know, you're a man or you're a woman, doesn't mean that you know how to be in a relationship. It doesn't mean that you know how to interact with each other. And, you know, if I repeat this 1,000 times a week, I don't think I can repeat it enough. You always need someone that can look over your shoulder and see what you don't see and bring that invisible up to the table, because there can be, and I'm sure you run into it all the time, people in a relationship, they're having a problem and they're not looking deep enough into it to realize what it is the real problem is. They're working on the wrong problem, and you said it, the divorce in many cases isn't necessary, and they get divorced and they shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Well, you know, Michael, without self-awareness, I don't believe it's possible to change much, because we don't know what to work on. And so you're right. We've got to learn to become acquainted with our blind spots. And how do we do that unless we're willing to take a look and willing to receive some objective perspectives from an outsider? You know, in my own journey, like, I remember not long into our marriage, I've been married 28 years, and not long into our marriage, I realized that I was driving my wife bonkers because of some of the patterns in my relational style, and I wasn't aware of it. I didn't know that I was over-processing things, that I was insistent on talking about issues until they were finally resolved at her great expense. And it took quite a while for her to keep reminding me and helping me see that some of my patterns in relational style just weren't matching with her needs. And so that self-awareness is a key part of my book, Relational Triumph. Without it, we can't change. We can't deal with those blind spots until we're ready to understand who we are. And, you know, some people, they come to my office and They want a quick answer. They want me to give them like a formula, and instead I often say, look, let's stop trying to change this, and instead let's try to understand this.
Now, wouldn't it be great if you met someone and go all the way back 28 years ago and you met your wife, and the two of you sat down and you started to fall in love, you started to get into a relationship, and maybe hypothetically, the way that you receive love is maybe a wink, a look, a tone of voice, expression, something like that. And maybe the way she receives love is you buy her something. So you're going through life and you're winking at her and your tone of voice is there and you're doing everything you can to show her that you love her. And one day, 5 years later, you walk into the house and her bags are packed. And you look, and you say, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm leaving. Why are you leaving? Well, you don't love me. What do you mean I don't love you? You don't show me. And what we've done is given them love in every way we've learned how, but it's not the way that they've learned to receive. And wouldn't it be interesting if you could go all the way up front with that and just ask the question? And now you know. And if you don't know, then it's going to give you thought to find out what it is that causes you to feel that you're loved. And when you got a handle on that, a lot of problems that would have happened are stopped before they even happen.
Yeah. Oh, you hit it on the nail. Like, that's so true, Michael. I find that we're slow to express what it is that we really need. Perhaps sometimes we don't even know how to verbalize it.
Yeah.
You know, and people want to rescue the others, so they kind of wait it out and think, well, the other person needs to show me my love in my love language, and I'm not going to tell them how to do it. I'm going to wait until it comes out of them naturally. And like you said, 5 years later, maybe it's too late, right? Whereas learning how to express the matters of a person's heart, I mean, that's just the key to making a successful relationship, to having triumph. Now, it is work. There's no question.
Sure.
There's the umph in triumph. You know,
yeah,
and,
absolutely.
For some people, it's a big risk to be able to sit down with their husband or their wife and say, look, honey, when you do this, I realize that, you know, you bring home these flowers for me, and that's nice and all that, but what I really want is to go for a long walk and just share my heart and have you listen and ask those great questions about, you know, how did that make you feel, and stuff like that. And until we really learn to help each other understand our needs, there's great possibility of missing those opportunities, for sure.
You know, Jerry, what triggered that thought in me, that was sometime back, a couple of years ago probably, there was a woman on the show, and she wrote a book called the first kiss. You can make it or break it on that first kiss. And what it came down to, the core message in there was, we don't know how the other person likes to be kissed, and nobody ever asks. So if you would take the time and start out with, how do you like to be kissed? Now, you know, we're guys, we're supposed to know. Nobody's, you know, we're not going to ask that question. But yes, and then I thought about it later on and brought it to, what would it be like if you asked somebody, how do you receive love? But even at the first kiss, we don't sit down and ask. And the reason we don't ask is, quote unquote, we're supposed to know. And I really believe when people meet each other, you meet somebody and you're not going to let them know who you are. You're going to let them know who you think they want you to be. And you're doing this, you get into a relationship, and pretty soon you become who you are, and they don't like that person. And you don't understand why they're leaving, they're walking out, and there's the problem again. It's called be genuine. And there's too many people, Jerry, who are frightened to death to be genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. It's so often it shows up in the bedroom, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I get couples coming in and they talk about their frustrations. And more often than not, eventually one of them will blurt it out and they'll just say, you know, I'm frustrated with the way he or she does sex.
Yeah.
And
what's the matter with the same thing? How do you like sex? You know, what do you like to do? You know, I mean, it's the same thing.
Exactly. You'd be surprised how many people don't understand the nature of the body parts in each male and female. And they can't even look at each other when they're making love, never mind speak to each other. Or, like you said, talk about it over a cup of coffee and just discuss that part of their relationship.
Yeah.
We invest so much in so many other things in our lives. Like, we will research an automobile that we're thinking of purchasing, you know, to the 10th degree. But do we really spend the time of being sort of an eyewitness and a student of our relationship, our most primary relationship?
See, there's something out there that it's a misnomer. It's something that gets us all on a wrong track. When the man is supposed to know, I know lots of things, but how do I know about somebody that I meet about what they're like, you know, with intimacy, how they like to be loved? And walking in and just saying, not quite this brazen, but walking in and just, I don't know anything about you. Tell me. And then when I know, I can do things that will make you happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's the fantasy of control. It's like we think perhaps that we know, or the other person should know, and that's a little bit of a fantasy of control that somehow we'll get the reward, we'll get what we want. And we just have to wait long enough for it. And in a sense, that puts us in the victim role, where we wouldn't necessarily have to be in that victim role if we learned how to communicate clearly. But when we stop short of sharing our heart, then it's often because we're waiting for the other person to fulfill what we want fulfilled. And by trying to stay in control, we end up losing so much, and we don't have to do that. We can let go of control and learn to be more forthright, learn to be more genuine with each other, and thereby we'll get out of the victim role. We won't be walking around with a sore look on our face going, man, why did he or she mess up so bad?
No, and Jerry, I hear you loud and clear. We're starting to run out of time. Is there a website we can find you and also buy the book?
Yeah. There's a couple of websites. My business website is riverbendcounseling.ca, and my book's website is relational-triumph.com. And on relational-triumph.com, you can purchase the book. It comes in hardcover, paperback, and also electronic copy.
Wonderful. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us. And again, one more time, slow with that website where we can find the book at.
Relational-triumph.com. Relational-triumph.com.
Wonderful. Hey, Jerry, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Michael, thanks for having me. Love your show. and especially the provocative title, Dresser After Dark.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The world can hurt us long as we're sick.